Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave Solomon. Here we are, the second show of the new year, and we did not mention this the other day on Tuesday when Mike MacArthur kicked off the show and then Jackie Ryan followed in the second hour, but I got to tell you, the arrangement of the show is different now than it was in 2012, and I'll tell you why. The fact of the matter is that we have moved from downstairs to upstairs in my home, and I'm doing the show on my bed right now. I just love the way this turned out. It just worked out better for everybody concerned, because some of the time when we had interviews since the show began 2 Augusts ago, you could sometimes hear the dogs on either side where my neighbors live, so that wasn't going to do anymore. Our guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy is my good friend Norman Woods, also known as Inside. Amazing artist. Amazing journey, one of the most amazing I have ever heard. And depending on where he's coming from today, he'll explain everything to you. And we'll hear some new work by Inside and the Tribe. Let's start out as we usually do if we have no guests in the first hour with something classic. And because it is the memory of Max Roach's birthday this very day, let's play Clifford Brown and Max Roach, and I get a kick out of you. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That nice. Woo! Nina Simone. Lord help me. Jesus. 1958. So much to say about that. My baby just cares for me. Now that's a jazz standard written for a 1930 film version of a Ziegfeld musical comedy called Whoopi, starring Eddie Cantor. Now, Nina did this in 1958. From her debut, Little Girl Blue. But it wasn't until 1987 when Chanel, the House of Chanel, featured it in a United Kingdom TV commercial for Chanel No. 5. And when folks in the UK heard that song, the popularity of Nina Simone exploded. And that song was huge. How many years after she first recorded it? And lots of folks did record it after Nina, like Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Mel Torme. There were many others, but that is Nina's signature song. And man, many years after Nina, no longer with us, she has created new controversy because she was no stranger to that while she walked among us. Zoe Saldana is supposed to play her in the movie that was created from Nina's autobiography, I Put a Spell on You. And Zoe is creating some buzz because Nina was dark-skinned and Zoe is not. So apparently they're doing some darkening of the skin from the last time I heard with Zoe so that she can appear to be more like Nina Simone in the film. Now, it would have saved everybody some time and energy and common sense if they were to have chosen a dark-skinned African-American actress or somebody from not America, somewhere, to typify more of who Nina Simone looked like. But is it up to me? No. But you just heard a great song. I just love those old songs, don't you? And I have to say, there's going to be a few songs from the 50s that you'll hear today. Forgive me. Usually it's a matter of choosing from a decade, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, into 2000. But today I threw caution to the wind because there's so much good stuff. Pat Bianchi, woohoo! Musical family from Rochester, New York, just like our guest from the other day, Mike MacArthur. You heard Hammerhead. Pat Bianchi, one of the most versatile B3 players around, and you heard Wayne Scoffery on saxophone for that particular track from the 2010 album, Back Home. Pat Bianchi, we actually talked to in 2012. He was playing with Chuck Loeb, still does on the occasion, as well as the Pat Martino Trio, and he sometimes plays with the Tim Warfield Quartet. He is doing his thing pretty much all the time, and he's got some regular gigs, some great people he surrounds himself with. But I thought it would be a cool thing to play that particular song, given a contemporary spin on the Hammond B3, and then having it follow something that was just outstanding from, 1955? No, 1954, actually. Clifford Brown, God rest his soul. We lost him too early. He passed away in a car crash at the age of 25, and folks still talk about that because it was actually one of the greatest tragedies in jazz history, honest to gosh. When he and Max Roach got together, it was just magic. That was the Cole Porter song, I Got a Kick Out of You, and it wasn't on the self-titled Clifford Brown and Max Roach album. It was from Brown and Rich Incorporated, that project, which was the first that these two had made together, and it featured on tenor sax Harold Land, on bass George Morrow, and on piano Richie Powell, the younger brother of Bud. Richie was also killed in the car accident that took the life of Clifford Brown. Woo! And we grew up in Philadelphia knowing about Clifford Brown because he was a Wilmington, Delaware native, and Wilmington was side-by-side Philly and considered a sister state in Delaware, and we just heard a lot of jazz in Philly and in Delaware and in New Jersey, and that name Clifford Brown was bandied around so much all the time in revered tones. And we play the song because Max Roach was born on this day in 1924, and had quite the career himself, one of the greatest drummers that they ever took a breath, as was Clifford Brown on trumpet. And as it says in this great book, This Day in African American History, just read a little excerpt from here. When it comes to speed and precision jazz drumming, Max Roach is king. He first became noted as a major force in modern jazz when he served as Charlie Bird Parker's drummer from 1946 to 1948. During the bebop era, he recorded and played with Thelonious Monk and Dizzy Gillespie. He assembled one of the most creative and innovative quintets in jazz history. Roach on drums, Clifford Brown on trumpet, Sonny Rollins on tenor sax, Richie Powell on piano, and George Morrow on bass. In the late 1950s, Max Roach turned his attention to the civil rights movement, and he was blacklisted for a while. But in those particular times, he had an ace up his sleeve, and that was Abby Lincoln. And we're going to get to her in just a little bit. Boy, they were some kind of team together, Abby Lincoln and Max Roach. Max, God bless you. We're thinking about you today. And we're thinking about Norman Woods. He's in the chat room, I see. Woohoo! He's going to be with us at the top of next hour. Man, if you have never heard some of the work from Inside and the Tribe, get ready, because we're going to have some new pieces for you today, and we're gearing up for it. And since we're in a birthday frame of mind, how about this gentleman who's celebrating his birthday tomorrow? Lee Ritenour, born in the same year as your host here. He's going to turn 61 tomorrow. And this is from this stellar work, new in 2012, something that catches your ear right away. This is one of the original pieces from guitarist Lee's repertoire. And there's a couple of songs that are all about biking, because that's what he likes to do. When he's gearing up for a project, he likes to bike around the neighborhood and get a little feel and get a little inspiration for what he's about to do. This is called Rose Petals, not the kind on a flower, but P-E-D-A-L-S, as in a bicycle, from Rhythm Sessions on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. One of those tracks from a much buzzed about project. Oh my gosh, and it's actually called the Jazz Samba Project by Verano. Woohoo! Haven't heard that name for a little bit, and I think you're going to hear more of it coming up, and I'll tell you why. I am so happy for the group Lynn Verano and her husband Ken Avis, and the group have done so much in a relatively short period of time to make folks aware of samba and Brazilian music. And actually, this Jazz Samba project came up because they wanted to have folks very cognizant of the fact that there was 50 years since the time that Stan Getz and Charlie Byrd got together in 1962 to do that remarkable album that set everybody on their ear back in those times. Oh my gosh. It was one thing to have the name Antonio Carlos Jobim tossed around, but he was based in Brazil. For American jazz to attach their wagons to that sound and go out of the sphere of American jazz so that there was this global effort in making sure that there were other interpretations of jazz. Whew, it was big, and it has remained big. And what Verano has done to make sure that people are aware and keep being aware of that music is just wonderful. And I talk about Lynn and Ken because they're going to be on the show next Thursday. This was one of those things that came up in the past couple of days. They're going to have a big show at one of the venues in Baltimore, and they want to make folks aware of that as well. So, you're going to be hearing from them. And what you just heard there was the Bob Marley song, Waiting in Vain, from that illustrious project that has made the top 10 lists or top whatever lists of 2012 for many an endeavor. So if you want to check out more, go to veronomusic.com, V-E-R-O-N-N-E-A-U, okay? We heard, too, from Brian Culbertson and Earl Clue, by the way, on guitar. That's Life from XII, or if you prefer, 12. Brian Culbertson is going to be celebrating his birthday the same day as my favorite keyboard player is going to be celebrating his on January the 12th. More about that a little bit later. Brian Culbertson, a busy lad, as if you didn't know. And if you didn't know about this particular album, it really has been called by AllMusic, and that's a definitive source. If you're going to get praise, AllMusic is one of those jaded publications, as it were, or online sources, that if they like you, they like you. If they don't, they'll tell you. And they called this original and inspired, and I have to say that I agree. On this particular album, The Late Chuck Brown, that would be worth it just to get the album just for Chuck Brown. But also Ray Parker Jr., Avant, Kenny Lattimore, Faith Evans, Natalie Stewart of Floetry fame, Brian McKnight, and Sinbad. What? But all of this lent itself to some creativity, not necessarily for the jazz purist, of course. You know what I'm talking about. But 2010 was when the project came out. And if you have a mind to, if you're going to pick up a Brian Culbertson album, that is one of the choices that may really perk your ears up. Just nice touches and unexpected slices of life and soul and real rhythm. A lot of fun in that particular album. And Lee Ritenour had a ball too. Holy cow. Birthday guy tomorrow on that track, Rose Petals. It was Nathan East on bass and Will Kennedy on drums and Dave Grusin on piano. And speaking of piano, on that particular album, Rhythm Sessions, a whole bunch of folks. But let us make note that Demetrius Neighbors, our good friend, was on that last track on the CD, and that is because Demetrius was one of the winners of the six-string theory and rhythm section competition that Lee Ritenour has every year. And Demetrius and Lee are in pretty much regular touch with each other ever since that competition. I am so happy about that. And very happy that Norman Woods, our good friend, is going to be joining us in less than 15 minutes. Woo! Excited! We haven't heard from what's going on with Inside and the Tribe for a while. We've got some new pieces for you. And some guests are in the chat room. I'm so glad that Griselda and Beej and Peter and Matt are here with us and some guests. And even Norman Woods himself. Woo-hoo. Let us get back to the 50s. I told you I was going to play a few songs, and I wanted to. And here's the reason why I wanted to play Mary Lou Williams, not only because she is one of the and remains one of the most formidable talents in the history of jazz. She passed away in 1981, but there was a song that she did, and you know that if I'm going to be living in Baltimore, Maryland, and doing the show here, you know I'm going to be doing some kind of purple song in honor of the Baltimore Ravens. You best believe it, L-U-V. So I thought that In the Purple Grotto would be an appropriate song to play. How about it? Here we are on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is, and you talk about some keyboards, Mary Lou Williams knew how to play a piano. And here we go. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy with David Sanborn, backed up by Joey DeFrancesco right there, Mary Lou Williams right before, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is Inside and the Tribe.
Love is falling into a black hole. The witness feeling sinking fast, watching, while at the same time question the succession of the repressed. Prisoner by choice, or just a victim of naivety? Love is not a scholarly thing, even though some try to make it academic. Will I ever get it, and if I do? Will my lack of experience or piecemeal definitions reinforce a retrogressive sense of self-loathing? No need to check my notes, not me. I'm always falling short. And this will fuel the reasoning that makes it easier for insights and acute decisions to magically come to me, powered by ego, and make it easy to let go. Tell yourself, light the fuse of hurt, so that I will not be burdened with regret. Sing victory songs to those who say what they would never compromise. Well, I hope you know that from failure given before any test, from Neanderthal effort still secure at its best, a song will be sung breaking the secret code of an ancient language spoken by the unloved. My face, after falling across the line in the sand of what most will not tolerate, one that has been drawn and moved countless times, I have ignored all the warnings to all who were dared not to cross, only so that you might understand that if an opportunity to love falls from the sky, some voices of emotional liberalism will slowly grow faint, then evaporate, and you might find yourself alone, standing at the edge of the black hole, trying to decide if you should wipe with or toss in a towel, one that has been saturated with evidence of emotional truth. Believe me when I say, we've all been there. Or you will be pulled in by a succession of repression, never knowing if it was your chance you were throwing away.
One of my first introductions to Norman Woods, also known as Inside, and I just stopped in my tracks, and I've been stopping in my tracks ever since. This is going to be a different kind of introduction because actually we don't have a chance to hear all the time poets and philosophers and Pied Pipers and revolutionaries and evolutionaries and harbingers of hope and healers of hopelessness, but that actually is who Norman Woods is, and he's on the phone with us. Hey, my friend.
Hello, Trish. Am I on? Can you hear me?
You are on, and hopefully you heard that introduction. Nobody gets one like you.
I am so blown away, but, you know, with you, I'm always surprised.
Oh, listen, you are so different in the scheme of things, and this year is going to be all about that on this particular show anyway, because I'm commissioned to play great stuff, not just good. And you are one of the great ones, one of the great creative minds. But more importantly, besides creativity, you are absolutely bent on your part in healing the universe. And that's why I love you.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. But I did need to say that that particular track was a keyboard player by the name of Jeffrey Gilliam, who's on my label. That's a different guy who I'm doing some stuff with, and I just think he's really, really soft, deep, and smooth. So his name is Jeffrey Gilliam, and we're the one that's the Succession and Repression is featuring him, and then we have a instrumental track with a guitar player as well. So, yeah, we're trying to make waves and send some hope out there and make it reachable for those who can't get it, you know.
Oh, my gosh. And you, I know you've been working hard because you haven't been in the chat room too much, and we've really, really missed you. But that's because, thank God, 2012 was busy for you, wasn't it?
It was very busy, and it was a time of reflection and transformation. I had got discouraged and was questioning the relevancy of my content because it wasn't getting certain levels of recognition that I, on some level, thought I should hopefully be getting to reach people, but it didn't happen. So I fell into a place where I questioned the value of my content, and so I put it out on the internet. I said, does my work have any relevance of any sort, or am I just talking outside of my mouth like everybody else? And I got over 30 emails where people told me contrary to that, and I realized that my art is not my own. And whatever little expectations I may think it's supposed to get, there are some wakes that show its effect on other people that helped me come to the realization that my art is not my own, and what it does for somebody else, by petition and obligation, I'm supposed to keep on pushing beyond what I think I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to stay active, which is why I did the new album, Feels Good to Be Back. It was a thank you concert. It was my way of saying thank you to the supporters and the fans that I didn't know I had. So the only way I knew how to say thank you to them was do what I do, be a harvester of hope.
And, oh, wow.
You know, so that's what the new album, Feels Good to Be Back. It's an EP. It has 5 tracks on it with my band, and it was about 200 people who all had intimate ties to my work. And I can't tell you how magical that was. And it
I'll bet.
You know, so that's what, and then I was doing films. I was doing some film stuff, but it was really about reflection and obligation to the course of healing that I've been petitioned to do, you know, by the spiritual entity that governs my life.
You absolutely are, and, you know, this is a subject for conversation in a few different circles, but we are so obliged to make use of the gifts that we have, and you don't even know, I mean, you specifically, Norman, don't even know how many lives you've touched with what you do, what you are able to communicate. You had given me this piece the other day. You posted it on my wall, and I actually took that quote from you and put it in the teaser for this show today. And it's talking about the depth of communication. We can sit across from each other, and we can talk at each other, and we seemingly understand what each other is saying. But what is the level of the soul deep communication that we have? And that's what you are all about. Even if there is someone who stumbles across a spoken word piece by you embellished by this beautiful instrumentation, even if they don't cognizantly relate to what it is that you discuss in that piece, they feel the truth of your experience so much that it becomes theirs vicariously.
Exactly, and that's what the hope is. It's nice if you can have somebody identify with where you're at, but if it ignites any type of attempt to align them with their own reaching and their own growth and their own transformative empowerment, then my job is done, because the resources to improve the quality of one's life are all around us, but sometimes we reach for them and don't feel their sense of being. So sometimes we as artists, well, me as a spoken word poet artist, it's up to us to grab these experiences, encapsulate them, verbalize them as reminders, as conscious reminders for that moment that we were clear or that moment that we got something that we knew was useful. I use my own work to remind myself when I'm out of step and need realignment. So if somebody is, you know, evoked to say, let me give some thought to that, then my job is done. I'm not an aggressive spoken word artist. There are the aggressive people. There are the slam guys who do fast stuff. I'm a reflective poet who believes in people's capability to grow. I believe in that. So my support is, yes, you do. Yes, you can. Yes, you do. Yes, you can. And I'm going to keep reminding to you and to you until you believe that. And so that's my job. My job is not to display colorful levels of intellectualism. My hope is that you can enrich your own thoughts and have that experience of transformative empowerment and become aware of your true capability to make the changes that you might find necessary in your life.
And I have to say this because this is another topic that gets discussed a whole lot these days, and my son and I talk about it, and he, even though he's 20, he gets it. You are the kind of artist that when you are performing, the folks who would normally come into a venue, restaurant, wherever you are, and do the things that they have come to do in the past few years with a vengeance, which is they sit down, and before they even look at the menu, they're checking their cell phones for messages. I would imagine that everybody who comes in to see you, once you open your mouth, put down those cell phones and actually listen, and maybe even for the first time in a long time.
Well, that's what happened at this show, Feels Good to Be Back. That's why I was saying I had 200 people who were intimately connected to standing room only, that were intimately needing to hear some words of nourishment. And I don't even understand how I was able to perform because I was so overwhelmed. And they were quiet. They were plugged in. And I said to myself, remember, Norman, this is not yours. You're just being used as a vessel. So stay on it. And I was able to perform. And I was able to look at these people in the audience and have undivided attention. And there could be no greater compliment for an artist of my type trying to reach and connect people in that manner. There could be no greater, you know, experience for me. And as I said before, my job is to capture a winning, triumphant experience and make it available to other people to be motivated by as well. Because I fall off the beam too. But yet and still, if I had a moment like Succession and Repression, that's a piece to support women to not need to compromise their identity to be in a love affair. And for the guys, it's don't take for granted the support you have in your relationship. And that could be a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, just any friend relationship that you rely on. We have to remember, don't be greedy and take stuff for granted. It's a two-way nurturing by which two people are there for each other. And don't let the other fall into a succession of repression. Don't let the other fall into a state of low self-worth and then complain about they're not able to be there for you when you were taken, taken, naked, and not given, given, given. A flower can only be beautiful if you water it, but if you neglect it, it will die.
And you just made me think of something, too. When people get together and they find a connection, whatever kind of relationship it is, it's good to be able to say to one another and be honest about it, if you would, support me in my need to be authentic.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right, because no one should be left behind. No one should be allowed to slip into a succession of repression, never knowing if they missed their chance to love, as I said in the poem. So I have to remind myself with my work that this is the truth that you've been blessed enough to capture, Norman. So in the times where you fall out of alignment, you need to know that there was a time that you invested in a truth that's available for you anytime. And so I try to make my work available, you know, for people who also need to know that there is a time that they're on point. And as a poet of my type, I'm going to constantly make my work available to remind you because I do believe in people's capability.
That's really beautiful. And, you know, I'll just share this because that song resonated with me because I was in a relationship where I figured out finally after it was over that I didn't think enough of myself to be thought of as worthy to be a partner to this person because his talent was so overwhelming and I wanted to be whatever he wanted me to be or to become. And when you realize that, when that door is open to you and you are shown that whatever salt that you had at the beginning of the relationship, whatever strength that you had that initially was the very thing that attracted that person to you, you've lost, and it should come as no surprise when that person leaves you.
Right. So you get it. You get the piece. That's what the piece is about. So no more imbalanced compromises, ladies. No more.
That's right.
No more imbalanced compromises. We need each other. Don't take love for granted. Do not
take love
for granted.
And that has so many layers. Don't take love for granted. Oh, my gosh, it really does. And, man, we could have a three-hour show talking about that. Norman, do you ever go, is it okay for you to go into the past and to remember in order to bring yourself up currently? Do you ever go back to those times when you were all by yourself and in the street?
Yes, I do, for reference only. I don't do it because, you know, I don't do it for pity or to feel sorry for me or to be any way distinctively unique.
Sure.
But I do it for reference because the two things about being homeless that I remember, because a lot of people always say, oh, you were homeless, you know, and then how'd you come up and all that? And that's all fine and dandy. But what I want people to understand is that there are people out there homeless suffering from mental illness. There are people out there who have no one who really cares for them. And there are people like me who burn bridges. I made a conscious choice to do some of the things I did, and I take full responsibility for how I ended up there. But what I also want to say, too, is that there's nothing more painful than a good person making bad decisions, and that's a haunting that people outside don't see. So knowing that you're better than, knowing that you're more capable of, and then for some reason or another turning left instead of right and having unbearable consequences, you can't let something go until you own it. So I'm not threatened by my bad choices that I made in the past because I've taken ownership of them and I've said, but that's not who defines me now. I'm not defined by my mistakes and shortcomings. I'm defined on what Nelson Mandela, who I share the same birthday with and who's my inspiration, said, is the greatest glory is not in never falling. It's rising every time we fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get my glory. I get my glory by correcting myself, acquiring different insights and perspectives, and immediately sharing them with other people who are reaching for. That's the key, sharing it immediately. You know, no gift of grace should be miserly kept to oneself.
Now, you said immediately twice. When you say that, what do you mean when you have to share it immediately?
That soon as I get insight or a blessing or something that uplifts me, I immediately go out and share it with somebody else because I know I'm not a lonely traveler trying to make a progressive, satisfying, comfortable, secure life. I know I'm not the only one, and that's where the healing comes in, you know, because the lifeblood of grace is when it's shared with other people. It's not about, oh, now I got what I need. Who needs this also besides myself?
Wow.
And that's the work of a healer. Like my name, I called my name before when I started, it was Inside the Blessed One because I felt that I was truly blessed to have a second chance to reconstruct my life and my perspective. Then it was Inside in the Tribe because, as you know, it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a community to retain and sustain character and integrity. So that's why the tribe came into play. But now it's Inside the Healer, because I know that whatever I have to offer is not mine alone, and I don't control the wake. But I believe that now what I do has some substantial value, and I got a couple of emails where someone said, I want to hear the poetry, I want to hear the poetry. And I sat and I realized, I said, well, Norman, you've been in the music industry for over 25 years, and you're always concentrating on the music. So why don't you stop trying to fulfill an old sense of completion and accomplishment with the music and listen to what these people are saying. So now I do step up and raise my havingness level and accept the value of what I may say and the value and the healing that it offers. So now I'm trying to step up. On my new album, I actually put some of the poems on there without music. And this is what I got from people. So the point I'm making is that nurturing, helping, healing is a two-party exchange. It's about extending it, but listening to what it does for somebody else. So that's how I do it. When I get a blessing, I immediately go out and find somebody and share it with. That's just the
way.
You know,
that's awesome. I'm going to remember that. That really clicked over in my mind as something that is, as a matter of fact, it's so weird that you should say that too, because last night in trying to promote the show for today with you, I stumbled across this page that I had never seen before on Facebook called Occupy Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a picture of a man, and he is on the street. He's sitting on a street, and he's got his gear next to him. And, of course, I thought of you, because how would I, in quotes, accidentally stumble across a page called Occupy Kindness and see a picture of somebody who reminded me of you? Mm. And on the picture it says, "There is not one soul amongst us without worth. To recognize that in them is to realize it in yourself."
That's my motto, and that's what I live by. I couldn't have said it better myself, and that's what I'm committed to, because I've had more chances, more blessings, and I didn't always take them for granted. And as I said to you earlier, there's nothing more painful than a good man going through a bad time. And when
mm-hmm.
you're homeless, like I said, two things, like I said, take place when you're out there homeless. One, you get a front row to see how people deal with care, and you see them in fear of that circumstance you're in, but you get to really see how people deal with care, giving and not giving. And also you have that sense of, where do I belong? And that's a lonely feeling. I was in Seattle, and it rained a lot. I slept in the bushes of St. James Cathedral because I thought I'd be safe near a church. So your world of belonging and your place of belonging becomes so small that it's not about garbage and living in this situation. It's about you can be not homeless but have the same psychosomatic perspective of a homeless person. You could
That's
be
right.
in a room of 100 people and be lonely because you have no connection to people. The homeless person just shows you a physical manifestation of that. You can be the same way. I've gotten to talk to people who were after something that offered me, but we had no intimate connection at all. So my thing is about, let's develop authentic connections with each other. Let's share the resources that we have, and let's realize that sometimes a person's situation doesn't define who they are. They may have just fallen off. So all of my poetry is going to remind people of some reality that they may have had a grasp upon themselves and lost grip. And it's my job and my obligation to put it in form and make it tangible and make it reachable. Whether I get commercial recognition or not doesn't matter anymore. That's what this last year was about. Doesn't matter. Yes, I
Thank
need
God.
You know, I need my expenses covered. Sure, I do. But the name of the game is that when I see hope born, job done.
That's right.
I'm
That's
giving
right.
birth to hope. I'm harvesting hope.
Yep, I love that, harvester of hope. I mean, I do.
That's what they named me on a Philadelphia radio station. I was being interviewed, and the girl said, "You're just a harvester of hope." And I said, "Okay, I'll accept that."
I love it. Can we play Journey to Wellness, please?
Journey to Wellness is a song, is a piece about when I was living in Lutheran Compass Center in Seattle. That is the one. And to answer your question about reminded, well, Journey to Wellness is that reminder that you asked about early. So do your thing.
Okay. Whew. So to be clear, you would prefer now to be known as, because of this epiphany that you had in 2012, Inside the Healer.
I'm committed to healing.
Very good. Journey to Wellness from Feels Good to Be Back. Woo!
That is Inside in the Tribe.
Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Well-intentioned man, worn and torn, watching the memories of his own humanity fade away. Lost in the first conscious cloud of depression, evaporating at a pace worthless to be measured with time. Sweat pouring down the side of my face. I am drowning without possibility to grasp motivation empowered by reason. I can't believe that I've survived another one of these nightmares again. Laying down on my back in a thin wired bed under a worn wool blanket dry as paper, I stare across the room at burnt, dirty, yellow, faded curtains so old they're about to crack like glass. As the sunlight hits my face, I slowly become awakened to the sounds of hacking off to clear throats desperately waiting to be rescued by taskless deep breathing, life-affirming exhilaration. I reach into my pocket, partially filled with a hint of maybe. Maybe a cause. Maybe a place. Maybe a time. Maybe a want. Or maybe this will be the day that my self-worth returns. We're on the streets. I will encounter strangers. And maybe I'll be the one to say, you have a nice day, okay? But this can't happen when the ability to care has become an estranged, impatient moment, not long enough to occupy the space once held by optimism or thought. Amused? Not really. Without any more bridges left to burn, stories about my plans to succeed seize the capability of generating small conversations of concern or laughter. And even when the jokes on me, transparent remains of a distant reality are beyond reach from a heart that has become allergic to compassion. But head up, marching forward, I never planned on deterring from possibility of opportunity. My fear was that I wasn't sure if I could survive another failure. With about a handful of hope, head partially up, I march forward and decide to give it another try anyway. Not blind by denial, a salvaged part of me, I see, still protects the revolutionary spirit of past grace and free will to question my fatality. For these are the fragmented definitions describing a character controlled by the negative narrative called my life that only have powers and nightmares. For I shall mourn the loss of faith once held by those dear to me. I am now born of resolve, conscious, without consequence, an infant growing of redemption. Refreshed by a breeze, brought in on the wings of a new wind. For I am love, rediscovered and fully disclosed and uncovered.
Now, I want to tell you, that is some enthusiastic clapping after that. People resonating. You must have been tripping, Norman, to have had that kind of response.
I was. It took me, well, the story behind that recording is I had hired a guy to record the show, and he had messed up on the mic on the vocal part, and he had got the music part, and he had messed it up. And I went through this whole thing of fear and insecurity and upset because he didn't do the job right and so forth. And it took it took 2.5 weeks of prayer for me to not be angry that he didn't capture the moment. And what I realized that I was afraid of is that I didn't believe that I'd ever have a moment like that again. And so
wow.
I was afraid of. And so I got really angry, and I went through this whole thing, and I prayed for like 2.5-3 weeks, and I said, soften my heart and give me clarity to see so that I may find proper guidance. And so I kept praying that over and over and over. And so I finally let it go because I had to come to the point of realization that I had been used as a vessel, and to doubt the faith of the greater works that is to come, I didn't need to be dealing with, as we say, small potatoes. So that was small potatoes, me thinking, oh, I got to get a record, oh, I got to get a product, oh, this video didn't come out right, and so forth. Once I took ownership of that being an unnecessary driving force and let it go, I went to my old engineer who had been working with me for 10 years, and I said, look, man, I got this concert that I did. The guy screwed up. I said, here's my hard drive. See if you can do something with this. And I said, and I was so prepared to tell him, look, man, I don't expect nothing. I don't expect you to get it. I was so adamant about not expecting him to do anything. The next day, he called me and he said, Norman, I don't know what this guy was doing, but he was trying to pull the sound from the outside mics. I took all the strongest signals and I put this together and I'll see if you like it. So he gave me a CD, and I was driving, and I listened to the first track, and I said, wow, this is pretty good. And I listened to the second one. I said, oh, wow, I think he saved my little performance. And by the time I listened to Journey to Wellness, I had to pull over because I start crying. He had saved my whole performance. And there's five other. That's why this is Feel Good to Be Back Part 1. Part 2.
Okay.
There's Part 2. So,
oh, that's great.
So it just goes to show you, like I said, once a person comes to terms with that which blocks them, they can experience true spiritual, emotional, and physical liberation. And that's been my experience with this. I had to let it go for it to be restored to come back. And that's why that album, I almost wrote that album off. I almost wrote this off, but there was just something I had to learn in order for the hope of it to be born. And I had to learn that, and that's the message that I'm putting out, you know.
Well, you know, what you essentially prayed for is you prayed to have the narcissism cast away from you, the element of me first, as opposed
right.
to looking down the road, right?
Yeah, and it was like, wait a minute, feels good to be back, you know, I mean, you came back, Norman. Remember, this was a thank you concert, and Mr. Music Business was on the left side of my head going, you got to take control of this, Norman. You got to be on top of this. You know how you got to keep on top of things to get it done. And then I said to Mr. Music Business, I said, well, thank you very much for your input, but this was a thank you concert, and being that it was a thank you concert, I'm going to follow what being grateful dictates to me. And that's mm-hmm. the spirit of cooperation and participation. And I had 200 people giving me that. And once I found that that was enough, that's when everything changed. When I went to gratitude and thank you and the reason why I did the show and fully accepted it in my soul, that's when all that other stuff, that narcissism, start drifting away. And I graciously said, goodbye. It's been fun. Thank you for the lesson. Lesson learned. Your services are no longer required.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I do hear you. And, you know, if people only realized what kind of stress and just a secondary kind of living they would eliminate from their lives if they would get that out. You know, it really does go down to, and we learn a lot from Facebook because we see what to do and how gracious people are, what kind of attitude of gratitude they display on a day-to-day basis, or in the other end of the spectrum, how somebody can post something that is relevant to so many or that may be particularly personal to that person and have somebody come along that immediately turns it around and it's about him or her.
Oh, for real. I mean, when this guy messed up the recording, the only way I could even find any satisfaction in my discontent was to villainize him. I said, he messed up my whole show and blah, 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 blah. And Mr. Music Business in me, 25 years, start saying, that's right, doesn't he know who you are, and all that stuff. And I said, this is getting kind of crazy. And I said, wait a minute, thank you for your help. I don't need your input, Mr. Music Business, because I start realizing that I was trying to fulfill some incompletion from previous years. And I know that it's really important to not always go back and try to fight old battles and old wars and try to see old scars, because in my meditation, my scars get lifted, and I don't need to bring them back. So once I stopped villainizing him and said, okay, Norman, this is the kind of pain and agony that comes for you with you when you try to pursue something commercially. This is what comes with the commercial branding pursuit thing. But when it's of a spirit, when what you're doing is of the proper spirit, things will fall the way they should, and great lessons will be learned. And that's where the turning point came.
Mm-hmm. And you strike me, you always have, as being a kind of person who gravitates to that whole notion of all-encompassing organic living, you know, rolling with the flow. And if it happens, that's wonderful, and it's meant to happen. And if it doesn't, you know what? It could be down the road. Let's just
that's
keep
right.
on going.
That's right. And if you're a healer or if you're somebody who's committed to being of maximum service to your fellow travelers, you don't have the luxury of taking things personal, and you don't have the luxury of half-button it, you know. You have to, you know, not take things personal. You have to be a man of your word and your best attempt, and you have to lend benefit. You have to be of virtue and the best you can, and be vulnerable enough to show a person that you're not above water, that you too struggle, and then they can kind of believe you because you're relating and connecting to them. So, you know, I just keep going. And like I said, I wanted to be in the chat room, but I was so disconjointed trying to redefine the new paradigm by which I see things. I knew I had to stay focused, and I had to stay still, and I had to be still, and I had to concentrate on softening my heart and not doing the me thing. You know, I had to do that.
Yeah.
So now it's about all of you now, and I'm fully vested. I accept the petition that has been put forth on me by obligation, commercial success or not, soul reaching, soul dialogue, encouragement, transformative empowerment. I'm winning every time I engage in it, and you can take that to the bank. I'm going to win every time as long as
and you have opened a door for yourself, because I would love to be able to be in a situation where even if you weren't speaking of poetry and that kind of flow coming from your lips, you are going to be able just one-on-one or in a group dynamic, whether you choose to be in creative form or choose to be Norman Woods motivational speaker, you are going to be doing so much to help other people live lives that are just past the level of survival, thriving lives, as opposed to just a mediocre life.
Now, see, this is where I go back into my shell, because I get nervous and scared when people say great things like that. But I'm not going in my shell. I'm staying out here, and I'm embracing what you just said.
Listen, Mr. Turtle.
I just got a call from somebody who wants to set me up with some speaking engagements. One of you should mention that.
Really?
They asked me would I be willing to do that, and I said, all I could bring is who I am. And they said, that's what we're asking. So I'll let that unfold. I'm not going to, when somebody says something nice to me about my stuff, I'm not going to change the subject to them. I'm not going to withdraw. I'm going to stand there with my big boy pants and gracefully say, thank you.
And actually, you know what? This is what we call in my church circles confirmation. So you've been approached already about speaking engagements. You're supposed to be doing this because apparently you've got more layers to your gift than you think.
That's why I said it's not about me anymore. I realize that whatever I have, it's not about my little small, you know, limited values of what success or positive is or doing good is. I think it's a little beyond me, so I think I need to be a good student and keep my soul clean and my heart strong and just take the petitions as they're offered to me, because I do believe now that I can make a difference. I do believe. And a way will be provided if my motives and my intentions are correct, and I believe now. I have become a believer now of my intention, and I think I can weather the storms of doubt and the lulls and the peaks and the valleys, because it's all a part of it. It's all a part of it.
And you just thought it was going to be a coffee house thing.
That's right. That's all I thought. I just want to get out in this coffee house and say what I'm going through, and people say, yeah, right on. Keep coming back, and you'll be fine. And that's all I was expecting. You're a human being. Let me buy you lunch. That would have been great for me. That's all I want. I just wanted, like I said in that poem, watching the memories of his own humanity fade away. That was my experience. I was watching the memories of my successful life fade away. So for me to be satisfied with buy me a cup of coffee, come back, be the feature poet, that was so much for me. That was so much for me, and I want to give that to some other people, because I think a lot of people have a lot of things to say. They just need somebody to listen. So I'm going to do my part. I'm committed.
See, you really have come light years away from that one line in Journey to Wellness, allergic to compassion. Woo!
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite lines.
Lord, have mercy. Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite lines.
Yo! That I can see that being the case. In your day-to-day now, do you find yourself, and this is going back to another subject entirely, and it's not as though I'm a complete student of the secret, because I take issue with a couple of things, but I embrace the concept of it. Do you have to put yourself in a place sometimes where you must think of only the things that make you feel good in order to get through? Or do you just wave that aside and let life come at you?
Well, you know, moments serve me. I can have a brief moment of joy and I'm good. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
I have brief moments. And that's one of the things about being present. If you're present, you'll be surprised how many things that could be fulfilling and uplifting are right around you, because we're governed by so many levels of habituation and old habits that we just automatically do a lot of stuff. And so sometimes you have to break that agreement with yourself. Sometimes you agree to a script that you've indoctrinated through years and years of habits, and then sometimes it's like, wait a minute, I need to change this agreement. I don't agree with the script that I go to automatically, because I felt good about that. That person just said, I think you're a great guy. And then you go, well, you know, I'm trying to do it. And then you go into this explaining and what's wrong with you. Well, you know what? That's an old agreement. That agreement says my sense of worth is not being well received by me, but here's somebody outside of me is acknowledging it. And you need to learn how to say thank you. That feels kind of good to hear that. You need to find content in that. So what I've chosen to do is that when I have a brief moment, I celebrate. When I have a good moment, you know, I might have one event that happened in my day. That's great. But I'm going to celebrate like it was a great day. So I'm taking moments. I'm taking nickels and dimes and quarters on the dollar of good moments. You know, I don't have to have a dollar worth of light. I'm fine with nickels and dimes. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that, for real. I'm cool with that. At the end of every day, I guarantee you, I can tell you at least 8 cool things that happened to me in a day. So this year my concentration is not succumbing to charge. And what I mean by that is when somebody charges you up, gets you upset, like I was having trouble getting my record, my CD online with this company, and we were disputing how to do inside the blessed one or inside the healer. And I said, look, I know what I'm telling you. I would like to feel that you're hearing me. She said, are you saying that I'm not listening? I said, no. I said, I would like to know that you're hearing me. So what do I need to do to make sure you're hearing me? But I reduced the charge because people react to charge. If you come at somebody upset, if they're not strong enough, they're going to react. And then you're going to spend all that time trying to decharge, trying to reduce the charge that makes communication difficult. So this year, I'm not going to participate in unnecessary charge. I'm going to do what I need to do to get rid of the charge so that my need could be more effectively communicated. Because that's how you help people.
Man, that's really food for thought. That really is putting yourself in the other person's scenario. And somebody said this the other day. When you are being verbally accosted or mistreated by someone, you have to understand that it's something in them that's reacting. You continue with your light and do what needs to get done as far as your light is concerned and help them address their situation as to why they don't understand. Now, you may not get the response that you want, but you are coming at them in love as opposed to coming at them the way they're coming at you.
And you have to believe that you are coming at them with love because basically they really want it. But that's why I said earlier, you have to see when someone is reaching. You don't listen to what makes them not be able to reach. You listen with your heart to see that they're really reaching. So if the cost is to not react in a charged manner to what they say, if that's the cost to get to their language of the heart, then it's worth it because the world will change for them if they get a chance to speak heart. But if there's thorns in the garden, if there's weeds in the garden, somebody has to be tolerant enough to wait till those weeds are pulled so that the other things can flourish. And I believe in people, so therefore I have to keep my big boy pants on and not take stuff personal and know that I'm really trying best to alleviate anything that gets in the way of my allowing them to reach for what I can give them, which means do my best, not take it personal, remove myself if I'm getting too charged. You know, I try to not talk to people in any condescending manner. I don't use colorful intellectualism. If somebody says, oh, you're too wordy or you talk too much, I say, well, maybe you're just in the wrong conversation. Because that's how this thing gets down. This is how I get down. So, you know, I'm not allowing myself to be in any kind of agreements that put me on an automatic defense or goes to some old script that always led to headaches, growling stomachs, and second-guessing myself. Any kind of agreements that represent those dynamics have to be rewritten. We're operating on a new agreement.
Yep. I completely understand that. And if you were in a scenario, because I was in a scenario where, and it just took me, Norman, and you'll appreciate this, until 2012 to understand the magnitude of this. I had a close family member that was, since childhood, constantly at me to question what my motives are, why I did what I did, why everything was wrong that I did, and second guess myself. And you never think of those kinds of things, especially in a family scenario. You always think that family does right by you. When you have that door open with love, because God really helped me see this, when you finally banish that as the way to live your life and know that you're not a second-class citizen. You're okay, and it's just that the person who was accusing you had her own issues.
That's right.
Everything changes. Everything changes.
And you have to tell people, you have to not have to, but it's in your best interest to let people know that we have to enter into a new agreement. And this
yes.
new agreement does not allow me to get put on defense. This new agreement does not allow me to second-guess myself. This new agreement that we have to have meaningful dialogue, it has to have respect. You know, it has to have respect, and it has to have two-way listening, and it has to be agree to not disagree. A friend of mine just passed away a couple of weeks ago, and this gentleman had spoke ill of his son who was murdered, and my value system went to charge and said, how dare you speak ill of his son and say he was a smart mouth and then say the father was blind to the circumstance and the father died 2 weeks ago. So
wow.
every time I saw this guy, I thought about, yeah, remember what you said? And that's the kind of energy I was giving him. And then I said, Norman, do you want to be the gatekeeper to remind that guy of where he stuck his foot in his mouth, or is it your right to judge that? So what I had to do is I had to go make an amends to him and tell him that you're entitled to perceive experiences with somebody however you want. But I don't have to agree with that, and you don't have to succumb to my philosophical convictions of not speaking ill of the dead. And he started explaining to me why he had said this, and I said, you don't owe me an explanation. I just don't want to harvest the kind of power that knows you're feeling uncomfortable and not do anything about it, because I don't have the right to impose that discomfort on you by looking at you a certain kind of way, reminding you of that stupid conversation. Well, you know what? I don't want to be that guy. I'm a harvester of hope, not a harvester of regret.
Woo! Wow.
So I had to alleviate that feeling with him, and he kept trying to explain. I said, you owe me no explanation, but I don't think he had anybody who came to him with such ownership and wanted to liberate themselves from a position that didn't reflect who they were. I don't think he ever did that. And then he started making jokes, and I didn't really laugh, but I just kind of slowly disengaged from the conversation because work was done. I'm a healer, not a herder. I'm trying to not be the harvester of regret. I'm the harvester of hope. And so if I have to learn, if I have to be an example and bear witness, then I need to, as I said to you earlier, I need to be trying the best I can.
And that goes against the grain of what so many of us are taught, which is to keep your mouth shut and move forward.
Right.
What you're doing is so much more healing than keeping your mouth shut, because you have to speak the truth for someone in order for them to live better.
And you know what? They get to speak their truth. And the hardest challenge of that whole interaction was I used to get mad when people told me what they thought I wanted to hear. And then I used to get mad when they used to tell me the truth. So I said, which one is it going to be, Norman? So you got to put on your big boy pants and you got to weather the truth. But at the same time, if I think I'm going to run around here and persecute people for not having the same philosophical convictions as me, I'm kind of delusional. So you kind of have to accept the fact that everybody may not feel the same way that you feel, Norman, about not speaking ill of the dead. If they ain't feeling nothing and they just run in their mouth, guess what, man? There's going to be many other people who have philosophical convictions that are not in line with yours. So how are you going to survive this and do your work? You can't take it personal. You got to go do the part that you need to do to liberate yourself from the charge, and then maybe he'll disclose something, because maybe he'll feel safe, because maybe he won't feel like he's being put on the defense and being challenged. So maybe if you reduce the charge, like I said, there are poets out there that are very aggressive. There are people who need and want to be motivated by aggression. I'm motivated by reflection. I would rather have people believe in themselves and reflect on what they've seen and experienced, because I really believe that most of us have seen solutions to our challenges. We just didn't know that it had a designated role in our struggle. And so I'm going to make poems that remind people of that, kind of like people make maps. You know,
yeah.
People make maps, and they go, oh, this is a map of the United States then, but this is a map of the United States now. This is a map of whatever, and people look for maps for guidance. So I'm trying to create poetry that can serve as a tool of guidance or encouragement that here's an experience. If it's not like yours, hear the courage and the ownership and the confrontation and the assessment of this experience, value or no value. Like I said, watching the memories of my own humanity fade away. That could be anybody, any circumstance, watching the good that you represent slowly leave. It's like when I saw, when I was on Facebook and I saw when Maddie, you know, said he was engaged, it made my heart grow big.
Aww.
It made my heart grow big. And I made myself available for that. And my heart was so big, it's like I was right around the corner in Baltimore or something. I was like right there. I was like going, all right, you know. So we got to celebrate those kind of things, and we got to make them be displayed enough as to where those reaching won't think that things are out of reach. They're visible.
That's so magnificent, and there's a thought attached to that, but I want to make sure we play I Don't Know Why, and this is a song that you love a lot.
I love I Don't Know Why because I'll put it real simple so you can play it. With good that's being offered, I made a lot of my work available for charity. I offered my services to a lot of people, and the first thing they thought was, what was my angle? And I was so heartbroken that I said, people are so jaded by ill intentions of others that you can offer someone help, and the first thing they want to wonder is, what are you up to? Because they could be so caught up in the acquisition and the manipulation that they don't really believe that there are those who offer stuff with no strings attached. And I don't know why. So I'll leave you with that to lead into the piece.
That's awesome. Inside the Healer here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and this is from Feels So Good to Be Back, and it's a beauty.
You cannot speak freely if you are not free. Various changes create fluctuating levels of optimism, lost in a sea of hypocritical duplicity. What I believed in yesterday has left me. Secretly, I try to hide my fickle state of instability. A simple man, living in complex times, wishes for laughter, but instead will cry. Misinformed, misled, and misunderstood, part-time aware and conscious, but still, I don't know why. Calling all heroes, calling all heroes, instead of calling all cars. With only a few heroes left in my tribe, we sustain with faith, and still we continue to make them. While overseer waits patiently, watching and then selects those best suited for programming special interests, and if we move too slow, he will take them. Calling all heroes, calling all heroes, instead of calling all cops. Institutionalized by hostile perceptions, where aspiration has become barren and dry. No wonder why there is no one left to respond. I still ask, but honestly haven't figured out why. So liberate the poet who tries to avoid overused cliches. Let his message stay simple but strong, powered by simple truth. Free him from the fear that he may sound preachy or trite. or let sadness fill the hearts of those students of confusion who have been ambushed and manipulated by the selfish. With obligation, followed by false testimony of seeing the light. But who but the poet would see how they slide their way in, placing themselves in positions of imagined contributions, never present for the struggle at the beginning. For only a poet would say, from you, I've seen no work, no money, just patient donations of two-sided statements coming from two sides of your mouth, in most cases dependent upon who's winning. Geared for instant allegiance that changes like the weather, where tolerance is wasted to endure. Hand slap, high five, famous quotes from true heroes provide a good cover for hidden agenda. Code name, brother. Real name, agent provocateur. See, I always thought effective dialogue between two people sharing should elevate. But does this apply if one is compelled to lie? The hanger-on steel agents in training bear no shame or integrity, feel well justified. And for the likes of me, I still don't know why. Stained by arrogance to judge my concern, how I walk, how I live, I'll still call out the heroes. What else can I do? So I still try. For I am still spirit walking through this life with vision and purpose, stifled by anger and sadness. But my healing is sealed authentic, blessed with the knowing that my true strength will come from a heartfelt cry.
Toward the end of the night, because people were getting more riled, Norman.
Actually, it was in the middle. That was the middle.
Oh, my gosh.
That was like the fifth song I played, because I played a piece called Heartbeat. That's like a two-minute piece. But, yeah, that was toward the middle. That's when I said, yeah, feels good to be back. I mean, the album was going to be called Still Loving the Art of It. I was going to name it Still Loving the Art of It, but that had too much me in it. That more or less said
about
me still loving the art of it, which is okay, but I said, no, I got to bring everybody into the title of the CD. So that's why I call it Feels Good to Be Back, because that encompasses me and you and all of you.
Oh, my gosh. And here's what else it does, because you've mentioned this a few times now. Not in not taking things personally, you have allowed people to be personal with you, maybe for the first time. This is such a good year. 2013 feels like the year where we get back to reprioritizing what communication can be for us, not in the superficial day-to-day things that we've been doing, but in throwing all of that off the table so we really can talk over dinner or talk next to each other on a bus or talk via somebody in front of you in a coffee house saying the words that echo in your own head so that you can be a better person to the waitress who gave you a cup of coffee that wasn't the way you liked it.
That's right. And like I said in the little thing I gave you, transformative empowerment occurs when they walk away with their own enriched thoughts and stronger sense of being, a sense of purpose and direction. That's exactly what that means. So, but before we leave, I know time's getting close. I got to get my shout-outs in. Can I give my shout-outs in?
Oh, please.
I got to give a shout-out to my band, Cy Perscop on piano, Mandy Flowers, who's from Connecticut, on bass, and Mark Wright from Oakland, Berkeley, on the trumpet, and 74-year-old drummer, Ajitan, who has been playing jazz drums for over 60 years.
Wow.
Out of St. Louis. And they have been there for me in more ways than I can mention. And I just want to shout out to my niece, Nikita Woods, Jess Collins in Texas, Griselda, of course, you know, and Maddie, you know, and BJ, and all of the people, you know, and the poets, my poets. I got to just give a shout out to two of my strongest supporting poets. Poet Lady Silk in Harlem, New York, is one of my, that's my East Coast sister next to you, and Celestial Dancer, Donna Kervin, out of Philadelphia.
Wow, silly
girl.
I
got to make sure my folks is acknowledged. The rest of you guys, and the rest of you guys, you know who you are. You know who you are, but we only got so much time, so I can't encompass everybody. But these are people who unconditionally have been there for me, unconditionally supportive, especially Lady Silk, especially my girl in New York. Harlem, you know, poet Lady Silk. Gail, if you're listening, I love you. You're my East Coast sister. You know that, as well as Donna Kervin. You know, so I just had to throw that out there. And, of course, like I said, the band and Jeffrey Gilliam, you know. So that's what's up.
Well,
and Nikita.
And you got to say where folks can reach you so that they can get a hold of this work, because Feels Good to Be Back is going to be one of those pieces that you're going to go to, folks are going to go to, just to feel the essence of the healing that you're able to do. This might be real important for you this year, Norman.
I think so. So what I'm doing is I just sent you my email, which is dsantwood@aol.com.
That's yes.
D as in David, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, N as in Norman, T as in Trish, W as in Wonderful, O as in, oh my gosh, no, O, D as in David. So that's dsantwood@aol.com for direct contact. The album is Feels Good to Be Back, available on CD Baby. And the other one, Succession of Repression, In Repression, is also available at CD Baby. I'm launching a worldwide radio promotion where each of those CDs are being sent to 300 radio stations worldwide starting on January the 15th.
Oh.
I'm getting ready to do that. They're also, in about a month and a half, there'll be a video for I Don't Know Why. There'll be a video for that, and there's a track that you didn't get a chance to play, a two-minute piece called Heartbeat, and there's going to be a video for that. I'm in production for two videos that will be on YouTube. So if you want to see my work, just either YouTube or Google Inside, Jazz Poet, and everything will come up. But on CD Baby, the titles, Succession and Repression, or Feels Good to Be Back, Part 1, you can go directly to CD Baby and get those. And the video is going to be coming soon.
Man, this is good. There's a plan happening. Yay!
That's right.
There is a plan. I just love it, and I hear the hope in your voice, and I feel the peace, and that means everything because you know I love you.
That's right. Oh, also, I just wanted to mention I'm working on a new film. I didn't mention that.
I'm doing a
film called To Know Her Is to Love Her. It's a film about how I forgave my mother. My mother left my father with five kids, and I was the only one that forgave her. And I'm doing a film about the plight in search for forgiveness. It's called To Know Her Is to Love Her, In Search of Forgiveness. And it has how I forgave my mother, and it reflects on how we don't realize that people from a different generation may not have acquired the skills that we have. So who's better equipped to forgive? The person who has an abundance of resources, to understand the person with limited resources? Who really has the ability to do so? I believe those of us who are the recipient of resources, social workers, spiritual healers, and therapy, and all these things available, we can forgive people. I believe we can. So I went down to Georgia. I went down to the swamps where my mother was born. I went to Omaha, Nebraska. I interviewed a lot of other people who had events in their lives
that had a struggle with forgiveness. People getting murdered, people in witness protection, domestic violence. I have a lot of people that I interviewed who shared stories about forgiveness. Now, everybody is not successful. The movie will not show everybody being triumphant with forgiveness, but it will show people who are concerned with how to forgive and the acquisition of skills to do that. And Journey to Wellness is going to be in the movie, and there'll be some other songs in the movie, some new material in the movie. So as soon as I do this radio promotion and get the records off and running, I already did the interviews and the storyline, so I'll start filming again probably in about a month and a half. But it's going to be a very, very powerful movie on forgiveness, not rainbows and unicorn adventures in forgiveness, but showing compassion to those who struggle with it, because everybody can say to you, I forgive, but I don't forget. And they put that energy in not forgetting, and it's like,
that's right.
You know. So anyway, that's what that's about. That's the big thing for 2013 for me, those things.
That is amazing. That is going to be monumental, because that's the biggest thing that we have not learned in life, forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah. And people can catch up with me on Facebook, Norman Woods. You know, that they can catch me on that email, or they can go to Inside in the Tribe a page, and they'll see a lot of videos of me doing my thing with the band, a lot of videos, and then they'll see some me doing some of the poems that you've heard and some of the poems that you haven't heard. You'll see some of that on there as well. You'll see videos.
You'll also see a picture of a very, shall we say, a GQ image of Norman that drove my friend Allison crazy the other day and thought immediately there was something going on between you and me.
Oh, so yeah, I saw that.
I had to say, wait a minute now. And, of course, you know, she thinks this is a handsome man from California. you look so, so great, and there's a picture of your granddaughter there, and she is just exquisite.
Oh, yeah, that's the little half pint. That's Geneva. My son, I have two grandchildren, Olivia Bell and Geneva Bell, and I and the boy on the way. Oh, and they're in the shout-outs, too, because everything I do is for legacy for my kids.
I forgot that, too.
But that's the half pint. Half pint, we made a movie. Olivia and Geneva, we made a movie called Olive, and it's about their dog. So my granddaughters, who are 6 and 4, I'm showing them how to make little movies. And so we're going to make another movie. I don't know what it's going to be about, and I let them operate the camera and everything. And we're going to make some movies. We're going to make some little 5-minute movies, me and my granddaughters.
That is awesome. Oh, my gosh, that's so cool. They are beautiful, and you are blessed. And I'm really blessed to have had all the time with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know that this is not going to be the last time you're going to be with me on this show.
I'm ready now. I am so ready. I'm just going to keep on ministering and doing what I'm doing, and I'm just going to say thank you to everybody along the way. I'm not interested in going back in my little hiding place or changing the subject when people compliment me. I'm going to practice my thank yous.
Good. And in this way, you'll get a fourth track played instead of the usual, what every other artist gets, 3. So here is Succession and Repression, the instrumental. You knew I was going to play this, right?
Which one are you? Okay, yeah, go for it.
The instrumental. Have to play that because it sort of wraps things up. And whew, that first piece that we played set the tone for the rest of the interview. And now that you're out and about and you're not going to go back into that shell, I'll be talking to you a lot more.
Thanks a lot, Trish.
Thank you, Norman. I love you.
Love you, too.
All right. Norman Woods, also known as Inside the Healer. Inside. Pause. The Healer. You know what I mean? I think you do. Succession in Repression, the instrumental for you. So beautiful. Check it out. And this is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
It's better if you plan to pay the piper what the pipers do. The moves were free and easy as we danced across the floor. The turns and the exchanges being what the music's for. When the ball is over and the revelry is done, you got to pay the band that played your song.
Abby Lincoln, the great Abby Lincoln right there. You gotta pay the band. If you can see the deeper meaning behind that song, Have Mercy. Not only the name of the song, but the name of the album back in 1991. Abby Lincoln left us in August the 14th, 2010, at the age of 80. What a life. Oh, my God. What a life in its varying stages. If you heard Jackie Ryan and I talk about her the other day, Jackie just loved Abby Lincoln. And Jackie includes Abby's Throw It Away on the brand new Listen Here CD that will be available in a matter of days. So there's a lot of singers that like to make sure that you know that part of their inspiration was Abby Lincoln, who in turn was inspired a lot by Billie Holiday, and you might hear that in her voice. But, you know, here in 1991, she was a seasoned performer, and we have to make mention that so much had transpired before, so much was happening at that time. She had a consummate group of musicians around her, and they included Hank Jones on piano, Charlie Hayden on bass, Mark Johnson on drums, and Stan Getz on sax. That was Stan Getz just a few months away before he passed away, and there was something real special in the chemistry between Abby and Stan, and just can't say enough about that kind of musical connection. She commanded a great deal of respect. As a matter of fact, she was a National Endowment of the Arts
jazz master. That's pretty pivotal. But she did not start out to be a jazz performer, an entertainer in jazz, or this consummate artist that she became. She was in the movies. And what movies they were? Nothing But a Man, For the Love of Ivy, if you remember. Mo Betta Blues, you remember that? I'll bet you do. Abby Lincoln played a pivotal role in that movie. And I just love the fact that she was in The Girl Can't Help It, wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress in 1956 that Marilyn wore in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. But then she and Max Roach got together, and they had this amazing and sometimes fiery relationship, and they both got tremendously involved in the civil rights movement in the late 50s, early 60s, and it was just wild. We were talking about this the other day, Jackie and I. Here's Max Roach. He sees Abby Lincoln as this just unearthly beautiful movie star, and she became a civil rights activist, and more of herself was allowed to authenticate. Norman Woods was just speaking of this just a little while ago, and Max and she started to chafe because Max realized that maybe what he wanted was not the person that came to be. He wanted that person who was kind of barefoot and in the kitchen, singing a song, laughing along. Not to dismiss anything of who Max Roach was, especially on his birthday, for the love of God. But it's just interesting how people's relationships change. And Abby became this force to be reckoned with, a great storyteller, someone who was revered in circles that she would have never anticipated. And she died at the age of 80 in 2010. She left all of this great music behind. And, man, if you want to Google Abby Lincoln, get ready, because you'll go on for days, honest to gosh. Benny Golson. Benny Golson is going to be 84 on January 25th. Still with us, and I want you to understand that not only what you heard was the touch from Take a Number from 1 to 10 from, what, 1961? Benny, back in the day, actually, what year was this? 1958. The picture that you have seen, possibly, Great Day in Harlem, all these great jazz artists on the steps of this building. Benny Golson is one of four that are left. There's only four left in that massive picture. Sonny Rollins, Horace Silver, Marion McPartlin, and Benny Golson. Now, it's so weird. In case you didn't know this, here's some trivia for you. The Steven Spielberg movie that was called The Terminal. Tom Hanks was in that movie, and it was about Tom Hanks seeking Benny Golson because that was the only signature his father didn't have from that great day in Harlem. And Benny, just so experimental back in that time. Take a Number from 1 to 10 was all about doing a first track as a solo and adding another musician to each successive track. It was kind of gimmicky in some circles, but it really displayed some creativity. So I'm just, oh man, I would just love to spend like 10 minutes with Benny Golson and get into his head, you know? Oh, man. And we also heard, we sure enough did, Norman Woods, also known as Inside, and that was Succession in Repression featuring Jeffrey Gilliam on piano. Wasn't that lovely? You heard the spoken word piece on Succession in Repression, but that was the instrumental. So just wanted to make sure that the interview got wrapped up with something as exquisite as that, because we had such a wonderful time just in communication, so that Norman can get his mission accomplished by telling you what it's all about. Lord, this has been a good day. Oh, basking in these moments of joy, as it were. Let's get to a couple of more songs, shall we? And let's flavor this up a little bit. Haven't played Pancho Sanchez in a while, and I think we need to hear this. This has gone back 2005. An album called Do It on Concord Picante. This is Short Dog. I'm not sure about the relevance of all of this, but it's really a fun song, and you're hearing it on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woo!
think about your loving, the sunny evenings, the fun we used to share. Looking through the memories in my mind, since I've laughed and cried and thought it over, now I realize that it's never over, only set aside. Thoughts are only you, wandering through the memories in my mind. How could love for real have turned so empty? I just keep wondering why. Will I ever find the love we shared together?
Oh, mercy. Yeah. Give me a minute to recover, okay? Let me start out with something that we heard first. Pancho Sanchez, who is one of the greatest conqueros that ever lived. God bless him. On Concord Picante, Do It, and that song, Short Dog, which is just something that came to mind today because I heard Pancho on MySpace. Sometimes I go back to listen to music, and I thought, let's just do it. And on this particular album, you will make note, because this is really a very cool album in 2005. Tower of Power was on this, Hugh Masekela, and there was just a lot of fun and a lot of different kinds of vibe going on. Just not the regular beautiful Latin jazz and all those quirky, wonderful things that Pancho does with all the percussion that he knows how to do so well. But just the added element of T.O.P. and Hugh in that mix was wonderful. Not his latest album, which is Live in Hollywood, and we have played a track or two from Chano y Dizzy from 2011. But this is just a real nice flavor, and I want to delve more into, as time goes on with Hybrid Jazz,
the global vision of different kinds of interpretations of jazz, because it's what makes the show hybrid, what can I say? And George Duke, two tracks. Okay, let me just play two tracks because, first of all, thank you very much, AOL, for sending me some mail. Because, first of all, I love him. He's my favorite keyboard player. And secondly, it's his birthday coming up in 2 days, and I think that once you hit the age of 67, you deserve to have two tracks. And you deserve to find out what's going on with George. And I'm just going to play you what's happening with George. You'll be able to hear this, I think. Hold on. Can you hear that? Da-da-da-da-da. Yes! That is the Soul Train theme. Now, here's the situation. Oh, I just love that. Hold on. Sound of Philadelphia. Mother, father, sister, brother, don't you know? Philly International. Thank you very much. We'll go back now. Here's the scenario. George had signed up to be on this Soul Train cruise that's happening in a matter of days. I think February. He's going to do Yoshi's first for a couple of days. Well, the Soul Train cruise was sold out in about 75 days, and they've got 2,000 people left over who are on a waiting list, but they're not going to probably be on that. Nobody is going to be taken into consideration because once you have had a backdrop of who's going to be on this cruise, you are not going to be changing your mind unless something drastic happens. So they're going to do another Soul Train cruise later on this year, right around the time of my birthday in October. George Duke is not going to be part of that cruise, so I'm not interested. But the scenario of all these different folks on this cruise coming up, crazy, crazy, including Patti LaBelle, Cuba Gooding Sr. and the main ingredient, Russell Tompkins and the stylistics. Oh, my God, it's just crazy. So George is doing that, and I don't know what he's going to be doing for his birthday, but if he has any suggestions, please let him know that I've got a few. And that's all I'm going to say. All right, now let's turn our attention to a gentleman who had a birthday yesterday. He answers to either name, Al DeGregoris or Al DeGregoris. He's a wonderful guy, not only a keyboardist, a composer, a producer, and a lawyer, but trust me when I tell you that when I put something out on Facebook, if I want advice, Al is the first person to come to my rescue. He answered a big question for me that had to do with legalisms. He is such a wonderful guy, and I want you to familiarize yourself with his work in 2013, notably as it pertains to Times and Travels. Just so good. Here he is with Eric Marienthal, East 86 on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Enjoy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Let's talk about the world. It seems sanity has vanished without a trace. And I'm scared of what the children of tomorrow face. My mother earth is bleeding, and she cries at night for peace. And her tears bring no relief. Oh, let's talk about love. I can't understand why people do each other like they do. If they wanna see some change, it's gotta start with me and you. Turn our ears to Brother Marvin. Only love can conquer hate. I just hope it's not too late. Yeah. Everybody listen to me. See the world as you want it to be. You wanna be somebody, it takes everybody. Lend a hand to someone in need. Right or wrong, show some mercy. Wanna be somebody, it takes everybody.
Everybody.
It's gonna take a lot of love. Now let's talk about hope. We can sow the seeds and together we can watch them grow. Sit through the storm and see a beautiful rainbow. My faith flag is flying. It's not as hard as it may seem. Can we all share in my dream? Yeah, yeah. Everybody listen to me. See the world as you want it to be. You wanna be somebody, it takes everybody. Lend a hand to someone in need. Right or wrong, show some mercy. Be somebody, it takes everybody.
Everybody.
Oh, take a lot of
everybody.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. No more sitting on the sideline waiting for someone to see go. You're not part of the audience, you're part of the show. Everybody listen to me. Everybody listen to me. See the world as you want it to be. You want to be somebody, it takes everybody. Lend a hand to someone in need. Right or wrong, show some mercy. You want to be somebody, it takes everybody. Gonna take a lot of love. Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. It's gonna take everybody, gonna take everybody. It's gonna take everybody, gonna take everybody. It's gonna take everybody, gonna take everybody.
EricScottMusic.com has the rest of the story. That is Eric Scott. Happy birthday to you, Eric, the singing voice of Cesar Millan from The Dog Whisperer. We'll see you on Tuesday on Hybrid Jazz with Trish Hennessy, and Lynn Roundtree will be my guest. God bless you and your weekend. Be safe. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you, Norman Woods.